Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. We'll begin here. We won't stay here. We'll begin here. You know, on Sunday morning, almost everybody that comes to the morning service has already trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior. Most of you, if not all of you, are saved, but it may not be the case with everybody. And over the years of preaching on Sunday morning, some part of the message generally is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And often over the years, we have seen a sinner or two come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved in the morning service. So we always include something of the gospel in the message, and today will be no different. As a matter of fact, we'll start with that. But the subject of our message today is this very simply: Jesus is all you need. Acts chapter 26, verse 18 is in the middle of the context. We'll pick it up in verse 15. Paul is giving his testimony, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." For what purpose? Verse 18, this is our text, the beginning of our text anyway. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us today. We come humbly before you because you said to us, and we believe it, "Without me you can do nothing." Today, Father, we too come as ministers of Christ, but it is to proclaim your word. It is to honor and magnify you and your word above all your name. And so in order to do that, Father, we must be out of the way and you must be exalted. Like John said, I must decrease, but he must increase. And so, Father, we pray that you'll do that today. We certainly all recognize your greatness, your power, your glory, your eternity, and the work that you desire to do in our hearts. Heavenly Father, we pray for our minds to be attentive, our ears open and receptive, our hearts responsive to the work of your Spirit today, that we may leave here encouraged, edified, strengthened, if we're lost, saved, rejoicing in you, Father, and convinced of this truth. Jesus, you really are all that we need. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A friend of mine once told me, after he had gone through the loss of everything, literally, in his life, he said, "I did not know that Jesus was all I needed until Jesus was all I had." And I'm going to tell you something, you don't want to wait until you are left with nothing to find out that Jesus is all you need. In other words, if you can learn that now in the state that you're in, it's going to be so much better for you, because you won't have to be stripped of everything to find it out, and you will appreciate the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and His person in your life more than you ever have. First of all, as we see from our text, Jesus Christ is all you need for your eternal salvation. Jesus Christ is all you need for your eternal salvation. When Paul now, was giving his testimony before Agrippa, he was talking about what happened to him when he got saved in Acts chapter 9, when he was on the road to Damascus and he was going to persecute the church. He was going to find more Christians. It was his determined desire and the instructions of the people that were leading him and commanding him to basically make the way of Jesus Christ go away until the Lord appeared unto him. His conscience had already been pricked. He was under a great deal of conviction. And when the Lord appeared to him, that's when he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And Paul listened very carefully then what Jesus Christ had to say. And Jesus said, "I'm going to send you to do some things," in verse 18. First of all, to open their eyes. When Jesus Christ was here on the earth, you know that part of his ministry in performing miracles was to open the eyes of the blind. The most notable case was in John chapter 9 when he opened the eyes of a blind man that was born blind. Because that's something that had never been done before. But you know something, if you think back to the Garden of Eden and the sin that was committed there, the devil told Adam and Eve about eating the forbidden fruit. In the day that you eat, he said, your eyes shall be opened. Well, you know what happened? Their eyes did change. And at that point, they recognized that they were naked, and that's not something that they had seen before. And so what's happened ever since then, the way we view things with our eyes is not the way that God wants us to view things. The Lord told us that our eye needs to be single, and in order for that to happen, we need to see the things that Jesus wants us to see and look at the things that He wants us to see the way that He wants to see them. And we don't do that in our sinful condition. And so the Lord said to Paul, "I want you to go and open their eyes." What? To eternal things, to true things, to real things. Today, as we sit here, there are things that your eyes cannot see, but when you go into this Bible and read, your eyes are open to all kinds of things that nobody else in the world can see. Jesus Christ is here. We are members of a building called the household of God. Every one of us who is saved has been put into that building. That building is being built, but you can't see it. John was taken to heaven. He said, "I'm going to tell you about New Jerusalem. There are streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper, and all these beautiful jewels in the foundation and all these saints that are up there." All of that is going on right now. You just can't see it. But when you read this Bible, your eyes are open. You see all kinds of things. As a matter of fact, we didn't see the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't see His burial, and we didn't see His resurrection. And you know something? I believe we know more about it and believe more about it from the Word of God than they did who were there to witness it. Couldn't be more convinced of those things if I saw them with mine own eyes, because I don't have to. Our eyes have been opened through the words of God to the truth of eternal things. And those things are so real that our affections now are on things above and not on things on the earth. It's an amazing thing. You get that with Jesus Christ. Your eyes are open, and there's an understanding about things that you cannot see and don't need to see, but you will see them one day. He said also to turn them from darkness to light. Jesus Christ said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Jesus Christ, "I'm a light in this world." You know, people don't realize, because you have the sunshine and you have these lights that are on in here, these incandescent lights and these whatever those fluorescent lights are and things like that, people don't realize that really we are in darkness. And that space shuttle flies out there, you know, then they really know what's going on. All that out there is dark. It's all dark. And the Lord said, "I came down here to be a light into the world." You know, this world is under the rulers of the darkness of this world. You get light when you get Jesus Christ. The light comes on. I was witnessing to a young lady one time. Her mother had gotten saved and went back to see her. She was a lady that was in about her 30s. And when she got saved, she immediately, she prayed, raised her head, tears streaming down her face, opened her eyes, and she goes to her mother, "Did you see that?" And her mother said, "See what? Did you not see? It was so dark in here a minute ago, and now it just seems to be so light." Was witnessing over here in the other building when our offices were over there after the service one day. A fellow came forward to receive Jesus Christ, wanted to know more, took him back to the office. We were visiting at great length about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to me this, he said, "You know, I've heard a little bit about this before, But he said, not like I've heard today, not from the scripture like this. He said, you know what? It is like somebody just walked in here and turned that light switch on. And those are just people bearing a little testimony. We don't have to see light in order to know that we have the Lord Jesus Christ. But may I tell you something? When you have the light of Jesus Christ, you got all the light you need. You got all the light. See, your eyes are opened in Jesus Christ. You're no longer in darkness. Listen, he says here, to turn them from the power of Satan unto God. I don't know if you realize this. If you are here today without Jesus Christ, and I'm looking around here, group this size, very, very likely that there is somebody here today who is not yet saved, who has not yet put all of her faith, all of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, totally trusting Jesus. Okay, if you're here today and you're not a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ, listen, the Bible says you are under the power of Satan. There are only two spiritual families in the world. The devil's family and God's family. The only two. You're one or the other. If you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil. You say, I am not. Well, if I kept this conversation up long enough, you'd see. I remember one time we were witnessing on a Saturday night. And it was right after the Auburn and Alabama football game, and we were preaching in Alabama. And this guy that was going into a bar he'd already primed the pump. He was already kind of ready. He was about my height, but he was barrel-chested, stocky, looked like a lineman. Guy up there preaching said something that got up under that guy's skin. He just turned, blue jeans, white shirt, cowboy hat, boots, coming right for us. I thought, well, they warned us that street preaching could end up in a fight, and here we go. Man, that guy's coming right for us. Well, the classic thing is you let the preacher keep preaching and then you shield the guy away because everybody's going to be looking for the fight now. So you got a lot of people paying attention and the preacher takes advantage of that opportunity so you don't stop preaching. You just get beat up, you know, if need be. And I just really did not want to do that, particularly because the way the guy said what he said, I was kind of mad at him myself. But anyway, we were standing there, and I was trying to defuse the situation, and actually got him calmed down. I won't go through the whole conversation. It's pretty entertaining in itself. The guy actually gave me $5. And I said, sir, you're going to wake up in the morning with a hangover, and you're going to be so mad at yourself for giving a preacher $5 after we were over here. You can't do that. So I took his $5. I put a tract with it. And I put it back in his pocket. I don't want that. I said, no, no, you really do. I said, I mean, I know you don't want it, but in the morning when you wake up, you're going to wonder what it was that got you so riled up. And this will tell you. And you'll be able to remember what this guy said. Okay, so in his shirt it goes. That guy was halfway across the street when that guy said the same thing that brought him across the street the first time. I could have killed him. And here he comes back again, but this time he's followed by a guy that's 6'4". As barrel-chested as he is, blue jeans and a white starched shirt and boots, and we're really going to die this time. Because now the guy that's mad is coming, and he's not taking no for an answer, and the other guy's right behind him. And right when he got to the curb, the big guy grabbed him and held him up like this. What had happened is they had just called their table in the bar. And there was a really long line, and he would rather have gone to sit down and have that drink than watch that fight. So he just grabbed him like that, and now he's like Yosemite Sam. He's got a big bark, and his feet are just going like this. Because he has no traction. He gets him halfway across the street, and when he gets across the street, the big guy turns around like this and he says, you know what his problem is? I said, what? He said, he knows he needs what you're talking about, he just don't want it. But I thought that is awfully true. You know what that is? That's the child of the devil. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, what you're hearing, you don't like to hear unless you realize your need of Jesus Christ. And as soon as you receive him, you're like, you know what? I am glad you told me that. I am glad you did that. Because listen, You don't become a son of God until you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen to this. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So, and listen, Jesus is all you need for your eternal salvation. He gives you, He opens your eyes. He turns you from darkness to light. He makes you a child of God. Look, He says here, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. That's all in Jesus Christ. He is the propitiation for our sins, which means that He appeased the wrath of God by His own death on our behalf. When I was a young person growing up, I went to a church where you go to a priest and you confess your sins, and then he tells you you're absolved, and then you pray some Hail Marys and Our Fathers, and then you go home, and that's good. You're done. You know, the funny thing is, I never went there and told him anything that I didn't get absolved from. Thought that was kind of funny. And it never was too bad. I mean, I could get those Hail Marys and Our Fathers knocked out in about 30 seconds. And then I was right back at it again, doing what I had done that got me in there the first place. But you know, the truth of the matter is, it's what the Pharisees said. None but God can forgive sins. And Jesus Christ is, as we saw this morning, God manifest in the flesh. And if you want your sins forgiven, the Bible says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You want to come away clean, there's your man right there, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And then He says, and that they may not only receive forgiveness of sins, but inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. Do you realize this? When Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on the cross, He died for our sins, but something else happened. He became heir of everything. He became heir of everything. And every person who receives Jesus Christ as his Savior becomes an heir of those things with Jesus Christ. Now, it's conditional. We don't want to get off subject here. There are some things you could do to lose your inheritance. People say, I just don't understand how you can save a person, get saved. He always keeps his salvation. Seems like he ought to lose his salvation if he does something bad. And it sounds logical, sounds reasonable, but here's the deal. My father had six children, four boys and two girls. There were six of us. And if I had told my father, look, I don't want anything to do with you anymore, I wouldn't have done this. But if I told my dad, I don't want anything to do with you anymore, I'm moving. I'm going to where? I'm going to Africa. And I'm going to the jungle. I don't want anybody to know my name. I don't correspond with you. You know what? He could have, and rightly so, cut me out of the will. I would have lost my inheritance. But when I marry and we have a child, who's the grandfather? My dad. Why is that? You can't break that sonship, but you can lose that inheritance. He says He's got an inheritance for you, and when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what He said in Romans chapter 8, verse 17? If children, then heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You get in on part of His inheritance. I mean, in other words, I am satisfied totally that I am just a child of God. It didn't have to be any more than that. But He said, well, I'm going to rule this earth for 1,000 years. I'm going to let you have some of it. I'll do that. Jesus Christ is the heir, and we are joint heirs with Him. And then He said, finally, them which are sanctified by faith that is in Me. You know what that word sanctified means? You know what that word sanctified means? It basically means this. It basically means cleaned up so He can do something with you. It's a miraculous way. You remember when Jesus Christ was here on the earth, how He cleansed the lepers? Now they're walking with leprosy, and then boom, leprosy gone. They're halt, crippled like this, boom, crippled gone. Maimed, heals them, no longer maimed. I mean, it was amazing. Dead, raised from the dead. I mean, Jesus Christ just fixed that thing by faith. When you got saved, the Lord Jesus Christ made you a new creature. If any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That process of sanctification is something that is a marvelous deal, but what happens is you get saved, and as you keep living for the Lord Jesus Christ, He keeps doing a work inside of you that one day people look at you and say, that looks like a saint of God, and they have no idea the kind of trouble you were in before you got saved. That's a beautiful thing. It's the work of sanctification by faith in Jesus Christ. He wants us to be clean in His presence. He wants us to be holy in His presence. He does a marvelous work through His Word, through preaching, through teaching, through His presence in our lives. And we are not the same people we were when we got saved. I'm so thankful. Listen, all of that, your salvation, your open eyes, your light, your a child of God, forgiveness of your sins, and inheritance, sanctification, all of that in one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is all you need for your eternal salvation. Let me just emphasize this before we go on for something that will help edify our Christians that are here today. If you are here today without Jesus Christ, I don't have to convince you of that. Right now, sitting here, the Spirit of God bears witness with every child of God that you are a child of God. And the Spirit of God also bears with conviction, with reproof of your sin, righteousness, and judgment. That is, Jesus Christ is righteous and you have none. You face a judgment. And your sin, if you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, it has condemned you already. That can change immediately. You stop and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and Jesus Christ takes care of all of that. You pass the judgment. You have His righteousness. And by believing on Him, all these things that are in Jesus Christ. What a remarkable gift. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. All of these things are in Jesus Christ. My encouragement to you is today, when we finish this message, I'll offer an invitation. You should trust Him as your Savior. You should receive Him and let Him give you all of this. But I'll tell you something else. After you're saved, here we are today, and that's really most of us, 99.9% of us, maybe all of us, we walk by faith and not by sight. But you know, the truth of the matter is, many of us, once we have been given Jesus Christ and we have salvation, we then just say, oh boy, I'm going to go on and live my life, do my job, raise my family, buy my car, live my house, and that kind of stuff, and cease to walk by faith. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, and look at this. It takes faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But listen, we are to continue to walk by the same faith that saved us. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him. So you receive, how did you get saved? How did you receive it? By faith. Then how are you to walk? By faith. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, we walk by faith and not by sight. That is, then, that when you receive Jesus Christ by faith and walk by faith, Jesus Christ is other things to you as well, besides these things we've just seen. Jesus Christ is all you need for your eternal salvation. But Jesus Christ is all you need, listen, for your soul's satisfaction. Jesus Christ is all you need for your soul's satisfaction. Turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, Jesus Christ is talking to the woman at the well in Samaria. And he's asked for a drink of water, and then he says to her, if you'd have known who's talking to you, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. And she's like, wait a minute. Wait a second. This well's been here a long time, man. And you don't even have anything to draw with. What you talking about, living water? And in verse 13 and 14, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water, talking about the water she was going to get out of that well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's a remarkable statement. Because what that says is, you know, she had to go to a well to draw some water out to take back in her water pot to her house, or to draw out for Jesus to be able to drink of that well. He said, if you get the water that I'm giving you, it becomes a well of water in you springing up into everlasting life. This is a remarkable thing. You know, in the Beatitudes, I realize those things, that's a constitution for the kingdom of Israel and so forth like that. But in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ said to the disciples that were gathered there at the Sermon on the Mount, he said this, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you realize in your soul there is the capacity to hunger and thirst for righteousness? Your soul has a hunger for righteousness. Your soul has a thirst for righteousness. And there's nothing on this earth that can satisfy that hunger and that thirst. Nothing. Jesus Christ is the only thing that will satisfy. And he said, if you'll take the water that I'm offering you, it will be a well of water in you springing up into life everlasting. And you'll never thirst. Why? Because it has provided the water that your soul has been thirsty for. And it keeps you satisfied, your soul's satisfaction for the rest of your life. Look in John chapter 6. Look at John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus has fed the 5,000. They come back the next day. They're looking for more free food. And he has to start teaching them some things. And look what he says in verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Do you see that? Now, right now, just the mention of hunger and thirst, and you're already wondering whether the Methodists are going to beat you to peoples. You're getting nervous about it right now. Your body has an unquenchable appetite. If you ate breakfast this morning, you'll be ready for lunch at noon, supper at 6, midnight snack before you go to bed, and start the whole routine over again tomorrow. Eating and drinking. It's the way your body is. Never satisfied. But that soul of yours, what you have inside of you once you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, it can't feed on the same thing that your body feeds on. It cares nothing about your social network. It cares nothing about the music you listen to. Your body doesn't care about any of that. Your soul doesn't care about any of that stuff. It doesn't care about the husks you feed on. It wants one thing to quench its thirst and to feed its hunger, and that's Jesus Christ. And man, when you get a load of Jesus Christ inside of you, listen, Jesus Christ was able miraculously to go to the wilderness and fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And though his body was hungry, there was something that took place in that miraculous episode that when he finished that temptation of the devil and left, he was filled with the Spirit of God and he was very powerful. And if you will take the time to develop your appetite for the things of Jesus Christ, as your body needs food and water, so does your soul, and Jesus is the only person who will satisfy your thirst and hunger for righteousness. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people give a testimony in a church service or in a meeting. They say, so-and-so, stand up and give us your testimony. And they stand up and give you a testimony. Sometimes you'll hear a missionary coming through here. Sometimes you'll hear a visiting preacher coming through here, and they'll tell you how they got saved. And they'll say to you, there was a longing, there was an emptiness inside of me that nothing could fill. And when I received Jesus Christ, I was filled. And I was satisfied. You know, what happens in our world is the world shows you all these things that you don't have to make you discontent. And the reason is they want you to shell out of your wallet to buy what they are offering you with the hope that that's going to give you contentment. And the boat you bought didn't do it, and the four-wheeler you bought didn't do it, and the lease you have didn't do it, and the ranch you bought didn't do it, and the car you bought didn't do it, and the bank account you have didn't do it, but Jesus Christ, He will satisfy that hunger, and He will satisfy that thirst. And it is a well of water springing up inside of you into everlasting life. Let me tell you something. Don't cheapen. He said, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Don't cheapen your salvation by trying to consume it all about your concerns and anxieties and worries about the things going on in the world. Listen, every life has competition. Every life has complications, not competition. Complications. Every life has complications. Trouble at home, trouble at the office, trouble with the vehicles, trouble with the health. Every life has that. But I'll tell you what, there's a great difference between those who have satisfaction in Jesus Christ because they are filled with His bread and filled with His water, and those who are not, and they're dry and thirsty. I have seen bitter saints questioning God in the hospital room. Why is this happening? I'm so mad at God for these things. And I've seen others that have gone through thinking, you know what? All my life I've waited for this moment to be at death's door that I might leave this world and be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moments from now I'll be flying away. How do those two people both call upon the same God? One is filled with His bread and His water, and the other is in a dry, thirsty wilderness. Jesus Christ is all you need. For your eternal salvation, for your soul satisfaction, not only that, look in John chapter 16. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, look at verse 33. Jesus Christ is all you need for your, listen, for your lasting peace. John chapter 16, look at verse 33. Jesus Christ said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have, what? Peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, see? But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Oh, lasting peace. I tell you, I can't tell you how many people that I've talked to, witnessing, talked to, counseling, talked to in a casual conversation. You know, the one thing that seems to distinguish the two groups of people, those who are able to get through the tribulation of this world and those who are not, is peace. Is peace. If I could just have peace, they would say. Well, let me tell you something. I know where you can get it. Peace is in Jesus Christ. He said, that's what He said, that in me you might have peace. Lasting peace is in Jesus Christ. And you know something? You can go through anything in life if you've got peace. Those disciples were out there on that sea with Jesus Christ asleep in the back of that boat. That thing was rocking so bad that the boat had filled up with enough water. They were sure they were going to capsize. They were scared to death, and they went over there and they said, you know, carest thou not that we perish? That's kind of a funny thing. If you die, I'm dying too, right? He'd already given them the word. He said, we're going to go to the other side. Carest thou not? Well, if they just put faith in what He said, all they needed was peace. So Jesus stood up and He said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and the waves ceased and everything calmed down, and they went to the other side. You don't need the storm to go away. You just need peace in the storm. And you get that peace in Jesus Christ. It's lasting peace. Listen. After His resurrection, His disciples were really upset. You know, the two on the road to Emmaus, it's the third day. We don't know where He is. I mean, we're getting reports from the women that He's up, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, those women, right? She's like, what is this? You know, and so they're all upset. And Peter, he goes in there and looks, and John looks, and like, what's this going on? You know, Mary's the one that's kind of got the whole thing figured out. And they're just really troubled by all that stuff. And finally, Jesus shows up in the room there, and they're like, ah! You know, ghost! Casper! How old do you have to be to remember Casper? Anyway, they're all just scared to death. He said, peace, peace, peace. You know something? Next time you find yourself in distress, which could be 10 minutes from now, Just stop and say to the Lord Jesus Christ, I just need some of that peace. That'll settle everything. That you think straight, you sleep better, you calm. He's in you. And with Him comes peace. And to assimilate His peace, look what He said again in verse 33. To assimilate His peace, in other words, to have that in, you got to read and believe what He said. Look what He said. These things I have spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. And so you want peace, that lasting peace. Remember that He's there. He's the Prince of Peace. But that in that time, in that troublous time, before you do anything else, picking up the phone, searching the internet, whining and crying, whatever you normally do, just get this Bible and read what He said, and with the intention of getting that peace. I love something that happened in a testimony that we had Thursday night. As I told you, Brett's going to be leaving Thursday to go to Kansas. Not fair, but that's what God had for him. Pastor Hanks, he's helped teach Sunday school. He's played the violin, played the piano, sings. Maybe even dances. I don't know. We've never seen it. But so we had the young adults that were there with us at the Bible study. We said, okay, here's what you do. Ask him a question of a life lesson he learned through something so you can glean what God's taught him. And then you give him a verse of Scripture or a lesson from something you've learned that he can take with him when he goes. That was a fabulous Bible study that night. I was amazed at the depth of the questions, at the answers. I wrote, took notes. I'm going to live by some of those things I've heard. And it was good. It was good. And one thing he said was this. Somebody asked him about a situation in his life where there was a change. And here's what he said. In my daily Bible reading plan, I got to the verses that God wanted me to see for that day. Did you get what you just heard there? In other words, I didn't have to go looking around for a place for God to speak to me about the situation. It happened to be in the place where I was reading that day that God spoke to me. What does that say? Get in there and start reading. I've seen this happen. I've seen this happen in my own life many, many times. It just happens to be where I'm reading that the peace of God in Jesus Christ comes through for the exact situation. In Jesus Christ is lasting peace. In Jesus Christ is your soul's satisfaction. In Jesus Christ is your eternal salvation. And finally this, John chapter 15. In Jesus Christ, it's all you need. In Jesus Christ is your purpose in life. In Jesus Christ is your purpose in life. John chapter 15, I'm the true vine, verse 1, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So the idea is that when you are in Jesus Christ, he has you there to bear fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. That's why you keep reading. That's your sanctification that we've talked about. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Do you see all of that? Bringing forth much fruit, being clean, without me you can do nothing. Answered prayer, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you, verse 7 says. God's glory in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. You know what Paul said? He said, for to me to live is Christ. That's what he said. For to me to live is Christ. I said to you at the beginning of this, Jesus is all you need. He said, that's all I want to do. I just want to live for Jesus. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Do you understand? If this chair right here, just this is, you know, a weak illustration, but if this chair right here is Jesus Christ, then in John chapter 15, all he said was, just abide in me, and I in you. My words abide in you. And in this process, you are connected to me, the vine. Then through you, I will bear much fruit to the glory of my Father. But just stay right here. For to me, to live is Christ. This is all you have to worry about. Jesus is all you need. Somebody says, man, I sure wish I could do something for Jesus Christ. I want my life to count for Christ. Get here. Get to Jesus Christ. So often in the ministry, it's possible for somebody to be so involved in the things that he's doing. I got to witness. I got to pray. I got to visit. I got to preach. I got to do all these things. He's so involved in all the things he's doing, he's lost his connection to his life. He's turned his eyes away from all of Jesus to all of his things. Now, I got to be there for my family. I got to be there for my wife. I got to be there for our church. I got to be there for this mission field. I got to be there. Be in Jesus. Be in Jesus. You know, the Bible, you know, with that song, that hymn, the Bible, we say, the hymn says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his face. And the things of earth will grow faintly dim in the light of his glory and grace. This is where you need to be. Jesus is all you need. If you are in Jesus, abiding in him and clean through the word of God, Jesus will give you purpose in life. And you will never have to stop later in life and say, well, I don't know why God has me here, but he must have me here for some reason. He knows the reason. Jesus is all you need for life. Jesus is all you need for satisfaction. Jesus is all you need for peace. Jesus is all you need for purpose. And when I talk to people in their homes or talk to people in the office or visit with people about concerns that are deep in their heart, these are the four things that concern people. What am I here for? That concerns them. I'm at unrest. I've got so much turmoil in my life. They're looking for peace. I'm not totally satisfied. I need to keep pushing for something else. You know, these are the things that people are concerned about. Or I'm not saved. Well, you get all of that in Jesus Christ. He's all you need. You say, well, I just need a little more time off. You need more time with Jesus. Is what you need. And all of these things are provided for you in Jesus Christ. So my admonition to you is this. Turn your eyes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Somebody said to me, I need a wife or I need a husband. You know, if you have satisfaction, lasting peace, purpose in life, and salvation, Jesus will make that provision for you. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that at all. The things that trouble Christians shouldn't even have to make you anxious. When you get close to Jesus, your problems are solved. You have tribulation in the world, but in Him you got peace. You can get through it all. Father, we ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help our Christians, all of your children that are here today. Our world has stolen the satisfaction and given the false assumption of peace and purpose. But not you, Father. You've made it very, very clear in your word just exactly what you desire. If you're here today and you're a child of God, you know it because you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you just raise your hand right now and put it right back down? Okay, put it right back down. So that's the great vast majority. I couldn't see with all the hands up if you couldn't. I want you to, those of you who raised your hand, are you satisfied? Are you at peace? Totally at peace? Are you fulfilling your purpose in life? If not, if any of these is lacking, draw closer to Jesus. That's where the answer is. Now, if you're here today and you couldn't raise your hand to the first question, then you've already borne witness to the testimony that you know you're not saved. You need to be saved. And I'm going to tell you something. You will never find more satisfaction on this side of eternity than in being a child of God with your eyes open, in the light, no longer under the power of Satan, with your sins forgiven, with an inheritance waiting for you, and being a new creature where your old life has passed away. Is there anybody here today, before we pray, that would say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand to the first question, but I want what Jesus Christ has. I want Jesus." Is there anybody here right now, just raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I want Jesus. I want Him. I want Him and I want all that He has to give me." Thank you, sir. I see your hand. That's a wonderful thing. Listen, you may not believe this, but for somebody to respond to an invitation, even though you're not looking around these days, it takes a lot of courage, I believe. People are scared of some things they don't understand. But here's a young man, and he said, "Preacher, I need Jesus." Is there anybody else right now? Just join that young man. Say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand on the first one, but I'll raise it right now. I need Jesus. I want to know more about that." Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. I see that. I see that hand. Now, I'm gonna need some help here in just a little bit. I'm going to get Milton to help us with that. Yeah, thank you. There you go. And Dawn, you can help out there too if you don't mind. That'd be very, very good. See that lady right there and the man that are walking back there? When we have our invitation, I'm going to ask y'all to join them. And what they're going to do is they're going to show you in the Bible how you can receive Jesus Christ today. They're going to take you back there by my office. And you will be so happy. You'll be so happy when you receive Jesus Christ. And you'll know from the Scripture the decision that you've made was the right decision, how you made it, and what happened to you when you got saved. As the Everetts, they'll take care of you and do that for you, okay? We're going to have an invitation here in just a minute, but I want to pray for these other folks. Father, today, our folks that are here, I pray that you have given something to them out of this message where they'll know now that lack of satisfaction came from a distance in their life with you. That unrest in their soul has come from overlooking the lasting peace of Jesus Christ, or that uncertainty about what to do came from not being connected closely enough to you, in the vine, abiding in you. I pray wherever that lack is today, they will seal it with you to shore that up in Jesus Christ and walk away stronger, more at peace, more satisfied, with more purpose in life than they've ever had. Pray for these two that have raised their hands to receive Jesus Christ. I pray, Heavenly Father, when Milton and Dawn have a chance to talk with them, they'll understand clearly, very simply, how to receive Jesus Christ. And they'll know that they're saved when they leave here because of the assurance of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. For we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.